The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Well, all right, we got nobody waiting right now, so why don't you give me a call? And, that's right, I got to make an adjustment on the, make an adjustment so people can hear me in the audio area. Actually, we have something we do on YouTube, I guess. You know, we also do it on Facebook, where you can watch the show, watch me sitting here with my headset on. Not that big a deal, but people do watch. But what's really good about it is there are people in the chat room, in the area there, and a lot of fellowship. People have become friends from it. Oh, boy. Excuse me, got a yawn there. All right. So a lot of stuff going on. I released an article today called What is the Immaculate Heart of Mary? And I'll probably end up talking about that. I am so convinced that the Roman Catholic Church is so apostate. It is such a false church. It's idolatrous. Now, I'm going to probably read some stuff later. But some of the stuff that they come up with, it's just insane. But, you know, that's what happens. We'll just see how that goes. But if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. There's Terry. Hey, Terry. Terry Johnson. She's great. I'll be down there. You can be taken off. I'll be down there tomorrow. Lord willing, I'm leaving. That reminds me, I won't be on the air Thursday and Friday, tomorrow and Friday, because I'm going to travel down to Salt Lake City. And Luke Wayne will be doing the show Thursday, Friday. Hopefully, if the tech problems are all solved. And he does a great job. And he and I and others are going to be going to the Hindu festival, where a lot of Mormons go, and doing some witnessing. And stuff like that. And then I'll come back probably Monday. That's the plan, and we'll just see how it goes. All right. So, and I want to have dinner someplace Friday. I don't know if I asked someone to kind of check it out, Laura, if there's a place she could find that has a private room or something like that without a lot of noise. And we could meet someplace and just I'll announce it or have Luke announce it. It's not a big deal. Just say, you know, meet Matt Slick, have dinner, something like that on Friday night. You know, we'll see if we can arrange it. If not, no big deal. So that's a possibility. If you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Corey from Raleigh, North Carolina. Corey, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. Hey, good to talk to you.
Nice talking to you.
Hey, man, I just never called. Hey, Matt.
Well,
I got a situation. I wanted to get your opinion on it. I was at home laying in the bed Saturday night, and in my bedroom, my camera chirped to let me know there was movement.
Your what? What was that? What moved? Wait, say it again.
I said,
what happened?
I said Saturday night about 1:30 in the morning. Yeah. I was laying in bed, but I was still up, and I got motion cameras. And you can see they got night vision on them. Well, in my master bedroom is where I was laying at. It made the chirping noise like there was a movement. And I'm laying in the bed. So I looked at the app on my phone. And when I looked at the app on my phone, I saw a lot of orbs just flying around in my room. And there was no heat on or no air on or no fan going. So it couldn't have been dust. And the way they were going, they were leaving like paths and stuff. So you can definitely tell that it was something supernatural.
Okay.
Because they would leave like the trails, like the planes going across the sky and stuff when they leave the trails. Mm-hmm. And so I got up and went in my son's room, and before I woke him up, I kept looking at the camera, and then they were just flooding out of the ceiling. And so blah blah blah. Long story short, when I left the house, I got up and packed up and left. I watched the camera for the rest of the night up to like 7 o'clock in the morning and never saw not one. So I waited a week before I went back home. I went over there yesterday, and sure enough, I turned all the lights off. And I thought maybe it was just something in the bedroom, but it was something all over the house because they were in my living room as well. So they must be coming and going.
Okay. What do you think about that? You have a son? You said?
I do got a son.
How old is he?
Uh-huh.
How old? 15? Okay.
15 years old, uh-huh.
All right. Is anybody else living in the house with you? You know, any unbelievers?
No, and my neighbor used to own the house. She's an 89-year-old lady dying from cancer. And she said there's only, I bought the house. She said there's only young couples that live there. Okay. I've asked her twice. And so,
okay.
We spread them down. But I get a lot of stuff from work, like the type of work I do. I don't know if I done brought something in the house, like, because I be getting a lot of free stuff all the time, like decorative stuff. And I don't know if I done brought something home that they got spirits attached to it, or maybe it's somebody that brought it in the house. I don't know.
Well,
I ain't never noticed. I always look at the camera on the way.
Are you going to church?
I do go to church. I go to church 5:30 at night.
Okay. Okay. So hopefully the church you go to does. I'm sorry, what?
I talked to a shaman, and he said I don't know too much about it, but I talked to a shaman. He says he's a priest or whatever, and he said that he talked to spirits, and they said that it was my guardians. That wasn't family members, but it was my guardians.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering.
Let me ask you.
Fingers on that.
Okay, let me ask you. What church? I'm not sure where to start, but shamans are sinful. You should stay away from them. You don't consult people who are essentially on the side of witchcraft and the occult. That's what a shaman is.
Yeah, he's a good one, though.
Okay, there is, no, stop. Corey. It's bad.
Okay.
Shamans are bad. There's no good shamans. It's like saying there's a good witch. Okay? Doesn't exist, all right? You got to understand that. So you're checking out shamans, which can open doors to the occult. Even you say it's a good shaman. There's no such thing. Spiritually, there is no such thing. So you could be getting involved. You could be opening doors because you're involved with the cult. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, you got to go to the church that you go to. Now, let me ask you, does the church you go to have women pastor, women elders?
Like women pastors? No.
Okay. Does it have women elders?
No women pastors.
Okay, you got an answer. Okay. Does the church you attend have women pastors or women elders?
Elders, but not women pastors.
So it does have women elders, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So you're going to a false church also. Women elders are not biblical. Okay, women are not supposed to be pastors and elders. So you're in a bad shape here, man. You go to a church that's not biblical, and you consulted a shaman, which is occultic and bad. So what you need to do is find a good church. Now go to my website, karm.org, and you look up the article, What to Look For in a Church. What to Look For in a Church. You get on the phone, and you start calling out some churches. And you start interviewing. What do you do? What do you say this? You have these questions, you know, women pastors and elders. If they say yes, say, sorry, bye. Don't go there. All right? And then you need to have the elders involved with your situation. Because if, you know, it could be a technical problem with the equipment. That's always a possibility. It could also be a possibility that, you've opened up doors because, seeing a shaman is really bad spiritually. It's very, very sinful, very, very bad. So you need to find a good church.
Okay.
But the one you're going to isn't a good church because it's got women pastors, women elders. So you got to just forget that church. So you're kind of stuck. You got to get it taken care of.
Hey, I was going to invite him out this Sunday coming up because he said he was going to do a cleansing on the house kind of stuff, a cleansing and all this.
Wait. You say you're going to... Hold on. You're going to have a shaman come out to your house?
I thought about it, yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you. So what what you were thinking of doing was having someone who's involved in the occult, in spiritism, come out and help you instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. So apparently, you're not being taught at the church that you're going to, and you're getting really confused. Right. So you need to find a good church. Look for something like a Calvary Chapel or a good Baptist church or evangelical free. There are a lot of good independent churches around, but you have to know what to look for. Go to my website, carm.org, and look up for the article, What to Look For in a Church. Okay?
Because he said that, Dan Salmon told me that there are protective spirits following everybody around all the time. But I know I don't see them on the camera when I leave the house at all. But when I come back, I look at my phone and I look at they're there.
You don't know that's what it is. Okay? It's a medium. It's like spiritism, contacting the dead, contacting spiritual forces, using divination, varying things like that. It is very bad, occultic, and quite sinful. You need to stay away from it. It's bad.
Oh, yeah. So what about my house? Should I go to the house too? I mean, what?
You can go to the house. But you need to be... Okay, let me ask you something. Let's just... You know, when you die and you go to heaven and God's talking to you and he says, why should I let you into heaven? What would you tell him? Well, what's the reason you should go to heaven? What is it?
I would say, I ain't been perfect, Let me in. I believe in you all the time.
Okay, so you're hard to understand for one thing, but
I know it wasn't perfect, but I believe in you all the time, and I want to be with you.
Okay, do you know that Jesus Christ is God in flesh?
Yes.
Do you know he died in the
cross?
I
learned that from you.
Good.
Right. Yes, sir.
And do you know that he died on the cross and rose from the dead 3 days later?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever trusted in Christ, looked to Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins, trusted in what he's done, received what he has done? Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
Well, see, I want to know, make sure you're saved. I can't judge that over the radio. I don't know. In person, I could ask you a lot more questions. But the fact that you don't know... I'm sorry?
I consider myself saved.
Well, you consider yourself saved, yet you go to a false church, and you're going to check out a shaman who is evil.
Right.
So,
I haven't been going to the church yet.
Apparently.
It's just a church up the road. I started.
Yeah, don't
get in the neighborhood. That's all.
Yeah, find a good church. Get involved in a good church. Get grounded. You shouldn't be just listening to some guy named Slick on the radio. You got to get involved with a good local church, a good bunch of people. So on my website, Carm, there's an article, What to Look For in a Church. You check that out, okay? Give me a call back next week, right?
Okay,
we're going to break. All right, Corey. Okay, talk to you later. Pray for Corey, folks. He really needs it. There's a lot more to talk about, but foundations first. Two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, it's let's see, about 20 after the hour. We have 10-12 minutes left in this segment. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Kurt from North Carolina. Kurt, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I had a quick question. It's not really like to discuss or debate it, like flat earth or anything. I just wanted to get your thought on this. Mm-hmm. On Job. Was it Job 38:14, where it says the earth takes shape like clay under a seal, its features stand out like those of a garment. What does that mean?
Good question. I don't know. The context, have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and they stand forth like the garment. It's from the wicked, their light is withheld. If they have lived, I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. It's interesting. I could do some research on it and see, but it's poetry, so I'm not sure what he's doing. And I don't know. Good question.
Okay. If someone tried to, it's from a slide to the Hebrew, they say that seal is totem, and that would, I guess, signify some type of ring, and sealing would be like, you know, sealing clay of an envelope. They're trying to say like they're trying to say the earth will be flat with the seal.
Okay.
And I'm just like, reading that, I'm just like, I don't know. I just, you know, it was just a good, I don't know. I think about it.
All right. Well, you don't believe the earth is flat, do you?
No, I mean, I just stand by whatever the Bible states. So
yeah, the Bible does Jesus not say Christ the earth. Lord. Yeah, the Bible does not say the earth is flat. Okay, it does not. It's just ridiculous that people do that. So it's changed like clay under the seal. It doesn't say it is a seal, but how the earth is impressed and changed and moved the way a seal imprints upon something else. That's what's going on there. From the wicked, their light is withheld and stuff. I was looking at it. And the wicked be shaken out of it. So that's verse 13. So are the wicked, if they're going to take it literally, it means then that the earth is flat, which is just dumb. But are the wicked then shaken out of the earth too? It means, you know, the whole earth's going to shake and they're going to fall out of it? Ask them.
I don't know, man. If it was taken literally, I guess they're trying to say, you know, that it might be taken by the edges and shaken out of the way. So that's what it is.
Yeah, so the problem is then they're saying that the earth can be shaken and the wicked are going to fall out of it. That means there's gravity that's working underneath the earth, which to them would be flat, and that the wicked are going to fall, you know, off the edge of the earth, I guess. This flat earth stuff is just so dumb. Sorry, but it is. It's just dumb. You know? Okay, let's... Don't waste your time with it.
Well, yeah, I appreciate it, man.
All right. Okay.
God bless.
All right. Okay, God bless. All right, let's get to Mark from Florida. Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. I've got a question, and this comes up very often, actually, especially where I live here in South Florida. Situations I've run into before where you have two couples, and as far as I know, they're believing Christians, and one of them wants to get divorced and the other one doesn't. And I've actually had them ask me, you know, what do I do in that situation? And I don't really have an answer for them. And
I'm confused.
Go ahead.
You say there's a Christian couple, one wants a divorce, the other one does not. Okay.
Correct.
And then they asked you? Is that what they did?
Yeah, I've run into that before. This one particular situation recently is with my barber. He actually, his wife served him, and he actually goes to a Reformed Baptist church.
His wife serves him?
Served him divorce papers.
Served him divorce papers.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Served him. What does it mean? Served him. Okay. Served him divorce papers. All right. He goes to a Reformed church. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
And, you know, I asked him, well, why would she do this? And he said, well, I had a mishap with pornography. And I said,
I'm having a lot of trouble following what you're saying. So you're saying he had or she had a problem?
He had a problem.
He did. Okay.
Him.
All right.
He did. And since then, repent, you know, and I asked him, I said, did you since then repent of it and stop? And he not only repented, but he hates it for what it is.
Oh, good.
And I said, well, that's good. You know, why would you, you know, that's, I said, I don't believe that's divorce worthy, but I want to get your confirmation on that or some insight on that situation.
All right. So the other questions that go along with this are, if she claims to be a Christian, then the elders of the church that they go to together need to be involved. I don't believe she has the right to divorce him, though some would say technically that's a form of adultery, and then therefore she can get rid of him. That's something that the elders would need to talk about, because usually that situation isn't by itself. It has variations, and those need to be talked about. But if it's just this one thing and he has repented of it, the elder need to talk to her about this as well as him to see if true reconciliation is possible. I don't believe that that is a divorceable issue. But, you see, it's not as simple as that, though. Because let's just say there's either one, because nowadays more and more women are being addicted to this. Let's just say, though, that this man is going on for 12 years and he's constantly doing this. Could a woman divorce him? I think there's a grounds for that at that point. I'm not saying 10 years, but, you know, an unrepentant kind of a thing where it's obviously an abandonment of the covenant vows, deliberate and unrepentant. I think that could be justified as a type of abandonment and adultery. But depending on how long it was, how long ago it was, the variables, what her status of mind is, all of it needs to be determined. And it's just not an easy one. It's just not an easy one. I'm sorry, but it's not. So I can't tell you. Because...
Well, the variations, the variation I asked about that, and I don't know exactly what you mean by variation, but it was straight. Because I asked him that question, you know, are you having homosexual feelings? Are you having, you know, is it just regular heterosexual? And he said, no, it's normal heterosexual. And I said, okay.
Okay.
So,
yeah, there's things
I don't know if that's what...
No, there's things that we could talk about, but not over the radio.
Gotcha.
There are things often attached. And so that's why the elders need to be involved.
Got it.
They just need to be involved, and it's a tough one, you know? It's a real tough one.
Okay.
It is. Without knowing a bunch of more details, I really couldn't tell you. But I get it. I get the issue. I don't think so far what you said is really grounds yet, but Amber's going to be involved. Okay, buddy? All right, man.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Three open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Travis from North Carolina. He wanted to talk about the Immaculate Heart thing, because, man, is it bad. But he's gone. Hey, let's get to, let's see, John from North Carolina. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. I was calling in response to, I guess it was a couple of callers back, and he was asking about an obscure verse in Job. And while I don't have an answer to that, what came to my mind immediately was how in Job 8:27, he talks about when he prepared the heavens, I was there, when he drew a circle on the face of the deep. And to me, that is like extremely early description of the fact that, yes, the earth is round. And before we ever had anybody in space, before we ever had any satellites, in Job, it talks about the circle that was drawn in the deep.
Are you affirming the earth is flat?
No, just the opposite.
Okay.
Just the opposite.
I'm saying because a circle is flat. A circle is flat.
A circle is flat, but says on the face of the deep.
Yeah, but yeah, and that, this is just one of the arguments. The word sphere isn't used. If it was used there, like a ball, then no problem. But the word circle, you know, they'll just say, hey, it's flat. It's round. That's why they say the circle of the earth, the earth is a disc. That's what they'll say.
Well,
yeah. I know.
Now that we actually have had people in space, now that we've actually seen the Earth from space.
No, it's all a conspiracy.
From the moon.
Oh, they say it's just a conspiracy. It never happened. So, yeah, and so what they'll say is it's all a conspiracy, and what was the reason? What was the reason for the conspiracy? It was something, I forgot what the reason was. Anyway, it's all fake. It's all CGI. It's all there was never a moon landing, and it's all fake. Period. And so thousands and thousands of people are in on it. It's just so stupid.
Yeah. Just,
oh man. Yeah.
Yes. So you know they can say yeah it's a circle. That's fine. But if you draw a circle on the deep, the deep is the ocean, and I'm just telling you what they do.
They come up with the weirdest, wildest. You know, just think about this. Let's just say hypothetically that you had the number one flat earther in the world, right? And he writes all these books and does all these lectures and all these conferences. And somebody sent him up and there's a new balloon that's going to be going up in a year or two. Where it's going to be $120,000, $150,000 for a seat. And it goes up. You can see the curvature of the Earth. It's just there. It's like a six-hour flight. Let's just say he goes up there and he sees the Earth is not flat. It's round. He sees it rotating. He sees it moving. He sees it. He comes down. He goes, hey, everybody, they're right. It's a sphere. The flat earthers would say, oh, he's part of the conspiracy now. That's what would happen, you know.
Well, as far as the moon landing it is concerned, it would have been a lot harder to come up with that. These days, we do have the camera effects, and we do have the technology that we could make something like that look real. Okay. However, we haven't had this technology all that long, but we do have some amazing technology that could, as Revelation talks about, that could even fool some true believers in the end times. I've come across different things that make it look like we can actually project things into the sky.
We could talk about all kinds of stuff, but the thing is the flat earthers, you know, it's like their brains are flat. They're not thinking through all this stuff, and they don't care about facts.
Right.
It's all a conspiracy. They interpret everything. It's ridiculous. It's a waste of time, and they cause problems when they don't need to exist. So okay. It's whacked. Yeah, I have no respect.
Well,
for
what we have to do, is pray for them, just like all the other sources of confusion that Satan puts out there to try to cause confusion, because we know that he is the author of confusion and he is author of chaos.
Yes, he is. That's right.
Well, that's all I wanted to communicate.
That's right. Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I do. I'm glad you're not a flat earther. So good stuff. All right, John.
Definitely am not.
Good for you. All right, God bless. All right, let's get to, let's see, John from Utah. Hey, John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, man. Thanks for having me.
Good. Hey, you're welcome. So what do you got?
All right. My question is, what is the spirit of Elijah?
The spirit of Elijah is the style, motive, and stuff that Elijah was, and it was reflected in John the Baptist. And remember, Elijah had a camel's hair mantle, and so did John the Baptist. He wore camel's hair. So, since his dad was a priest, it's possible that, or the dad had access to the temple, worked in the temple, it's possible that maybe Elijah's cloak of camel's hair was preserved in there, and it was acquired by John the Baptist. Now, that's nothing more than conjecture based on a couple possibilities, or some things that are true, but we don't know if it really happened. And that's what's going on. He was authoritative. He spoke. He had that that mantle. And so that's why it was prophesied he'll come later, and it's not reincarnation stuff, but that's what's going on. Spirit of Elijah.
Okay, so it's not like an angel or a metaphor for the Holy Spirit or something?
No. Nope. It has to do with John the Baptist being a type of Elijah. That's all. That's all it is.
Awesome.
Okay.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome. God bless. Okay, let's get to Mike from Utah. Hey, Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Good night. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, I just really briefly have a quick bone to pick with you because about a year ago, I kept hearing you say, you know, don't trust a guy named Swift on the radio. So, long time listener.
Uh-huh.
So, I took you at your word and spent the last year kind of going everywhere else, digging through the scriptures myself.
Okay, you're hard to understand. Really, you are muffled. Okay, I know I have my hearing's not as good as it needs to be because I've got
is that a little
problems.
Bit better?
But yeah, it is a little bit better. Go ahead.
How's that? Is that better?
Oh, much better. Now you're talking. All right.
Okay. I was saying, so about a year ago, you know, I took you at your word, don't trust a guy named, you know, Slick on the radio, and started diving into the scriptures myself really deeply, not really good. Listening to many people as per se, took a lot of stuff. And my frustration is, you know, I so wanted to be right. I so wanted to be more dispensationalist. I've now kind of converted over to covenantalist. I so wanted pre-trib to be true. And it's just no. Yeah. But the big one was the continuation of the charismatic gifts, which kind of leads into my question.
All right.
So I used to kind of be on the side where, nope, they had ceased. But I just couldn't get around a few things, such as scriptures that say the church won't be without it until the return of the perfect. Now, this is where I've kind of bumped into heads with some people, where the perfect, at least from what I can read, is talking about the return of Jesus.
Correct.
They're talking about it being the completion of the canon. But there's in my mind, there's too many inconsistencies. And could you help me with that? Because,
sure.
I mean, I've even had people tell me that I'm really almost not a true Christian if I believe in that.
Well, they have no right to say that to you, that you're not a true Christian, if you believe in the continuation of the charismatic gifts. Now, just so you know, I believe in the continuation of every single charismatic gift. I do, and I base it on Scripture. And I'd like to have any of them to call me up and tell me I'm not a Christian because of it. Because I'll ask them to go to Scripture and show me where in Scripture is that criteria which you have elevated to an essential doctrine. Show me in Scripture where it says that. Now, what they'll generally want to do, I'll speak until the break, and I'll get after the break, I'll answer the question. But what they generally want to do is say, well, that means you believe in Revelation continuing for today. That violates the sufficiency of the Scripture. So how could you believe? And they don't even understand
the proof. That's the big one right there. Yep.
Yeah, and I'll answer that when we get back to the break and put that to rest because it's just
okay. Thank you.
Lame. Okay, it's lame. I'm sorry, but it is. Be right back, folks. After these messages, please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back to Mike from Utah. Are you there, Mike?
Yes, I am.
All right. So, one of the issues that they will say is that the continued revelation violates the closing of the canon, right?
Well, exactly. And they basically say, well, if somebody gets revelation, it should be part of Scripture, because, so, I mean, it's just frustrating because how much
here's what you say
was spoken to people that wasn't then spoken in the scripture.
Here's what you say is, can you show me that in scripture? Can you show me in the Bible where it says if anyone gets a revelation from God that it must be in scripture? It must be inscripturated. Can you show me that? It's not there. So they're making it up. It's not in scripture. Because if they're not using the very scriptures that they want to uphold as the standard, then why are they uttering a standard that's not found in scripture? That's point one.
Right.
Point two is you go to 1 Corinthians 14. And if each one has a tongue or interpretation of a tongue or prophecy, these are from the Lord. Then let the church judge them, etc. These were happening in the church at that time. They were never meant to be inscripturated. There's the proof from Scripture. The proof from Scripture right there. That there are...
Now it's 1 Corinthians 13, correct?
14.
14. Thank you.
Okay. They're speaking in tongues. Just read through it. You'll see. They're doing this. The church comes together. They do this, blah, 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 blah. You just pick the verses. You'll find them. There's lots of them there. And you say, if it's true that whatever comes from God in a tongue and a prophecy and things like that has to be inscripturated, why didn't they do it there in 1 Corinthians 14? It's because your position is wrong.
Exactly.
Okay? That's another thing. Now, what you can also do is, and I'll get to the other stuff in a minute, but what you can do is go to, I would recommend this, get your favorite Bible and get online and print up 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 Corinthians 14. So print up 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Just print them up. Then with a pen or pencil, keep in mind, the charismatic gifts are not for today. Keep that in mind. And then cross out the scriptures, cross out those scriptures that would no longer be in effect if that were true. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, and then third teachers, then workers of miracles. Well, that's not for today, is it? Also those who have gifts of healings, cross that out. Those speaking in different kinds of tongues, get rid of that. Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Cross it out. It doesn't apply today. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, cross that out. If I have the gift of prophecy, cross that out. And when you get to 1 Corinthians 14, oh boy. And eagerly desire spiritual gifts, cross it out. Because it's not for today. Mm-hmm. Especially the gift of prophecy. Nope, that's not for today.
Well, and the gift of prophecy, for me, it's also, okay, if the perfect is the canon
instead
of the returning of Jesus. Okay.
We'll get to that, okay? So 1 Corinthians 14, you go through, and it'll say, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. That's not for today. Who speaks, present tense, not for today, cross it out. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Nope, no prophesying, get rid of it. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Cross it out. You do this, you'll find there's a lot more in 1 Corinthians 14, a lot more to cross out. Now, you can ask them a question. This is what I do with a cessationist. I say, do you know of any present-day teaching that invalidates large sections of Scripture? And they'll say, well, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. No. Within the Christian context, do you know of any teaching today that invalidates Scripture, any parts of Scripture? And they'll say, no. And I'll say, I do. Cessationism.
Oh, I like that.
Uh-huh. All right, now I'm going to show you something. When you go to 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love never fails, but if their gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If their tongues, they'll cease. Knowledge, they'll be done away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. So the topic here is when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. So when I was a child, I spoke as a child and thought as a child, reasoned as a child, became a man. I did away with childish things. Now, verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now, the then refers back to verse 10, when the perfect comes. When the perfect comes, then we'll see face to face. Now, what does the term face to face mean?
It means seeing somebody face to face.
It's personal encounter. Yep. And I have, you know, Genesis 32:20, I mean 30, that is. It was because I saw God face to face. Exodus 33:11, Moses spoke to God face to face. Numbers 12:8, with him I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. Deuteronomy 5:4, the Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire. It's face to face. It's personal encounter, okay? I'll just leave it there for now.
And they always come up and bring up the mirror being...
We're not done. Wait, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, you know, but see, when the perfect is coming, that's when we see face to face. And you ask them, if the Bible uses the term face to face to being personal encounter, then let me ask you the question. When the Bible's completed, is that when we see Jesus face to face?
Oh, when he returns.
It's not good. Yeah, it's when he returns. It just doesn't work. Then when they go to mirror dimly, what does that mean? We see in a mirror dimly.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you know, it just doesn't work from their perspective. For now, I know in part, but then I will know just as I have been fully known. That's a very interesting phrase. We don't know God or are known by God fully when the Bible's completed. We are known by God fully when Jesus returns, because he only knows believers. John 10:27,
right.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And there's other verses like this. You know, Matthew 7:23, you know, he said to the day of judgment, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of evil. So there's that. Now, you've also got to go to 1 Corinthians 1:7. Because 1 Corinthians 1:7, this is what I'll do with the cessationists. Because what it actually says is that you, the church, is not to lack any charisma, any gift. Charisma,
yeah,
charismatic,
yeah.
While you're waiting for the return of Christ or for the apocalypse. So I'll say, you know, in my opinion, we're not to lack any of those charismatic gifts while we're waiting for Jesus to come back. I just quoted it, right? Not exactly word for word, but that's what it says.
Look,
and
yeah.
They'll say, no, I disagree. They're sunk. Because you quoted the Word of God, and they disagree with what the Word of God says. You know, I just quoted you, you know, I just referenced 1 Corinthians 1:7. Could you please explain what it means to not lack any charisma while we're waiting for the return of Jesus? Any charisma. Okay.
I've had the response to that. It's like, well, does that mean that we have to have every gift in our church? I'm like, no, it just means the church in general. At least that's
right.
My response to them about that.
That's correct. It's the church at large. It doesn't mean, or ask them, does it mean then that every individual has every gift? They'll say, well, no. Well, then this dispersed among different individuals in different churches, right? Yes, there you go.
Right, yep.
Okay, so... And, you know, and then me, not that I want to focus on me, it's not about me, but I actually prophesied over a girl once in detail, and it came to pass. And I mean in detail. And it did come to pass, and she admitted it. And I'll ask people, I'll tell them what happened in the whole bit, and I'll say, you're a cessationist. Did what happened to me happen or not? I've actually had people say, I don't care what you say, Matt, it never happened. You never did it.
Wow.
So, oh, yeah, I've had it happen. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or they'll say, well, I can't exegete your experience, so let's go on to something else. Oh, wait. No. No, I say, look, I'm honest. I'm a man of integrity. I'm an ordained individual. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm telling you this is the truth. This is what happened. I tell them the whole thing. I said, could you please explain that to me? It can't. This is not a hearsay story. It's what happened. And I'll tell you, the cessationists, in my opinion, some of them, are just too uppity about the position and don't think critically. That's not to say if you disagree with me.
Thinking critically is the part that, yeah.
Yeah. But there are some who do think very critically, and I'm not including them in that group, okay? So I'm not saying if you don't believe like I do, you're not thinking critically. I'm not saying that. Some do, but the kind we're talking about who just don't care, that's what I'm talking about, okay?
So when they bring up the you know, prophecy has, you know, ceased, and, you know, basically there is no such thing anymore, because of the canon's been closed, I bring up, you know, let me ask if this is a good way to kind of look at this, but I bring up prophecy will cease once Jesus returns, because there will no longer be any more need for prophecy.
Very good. That's right.
Am I thinking correctly down that line?
Yeah, because when Jesus returns, a new heavens and new earth are made. Everything happens. It's all done.
Yeah, and there's no more reason for it. So the things they say will cease is because there is no longer any reason for them to continue at that point.
That's right. Okay. There you go. All right, buddy. You got it.
Just wanted to make sure I wasn't quite thinking crazy. So,
excellent. No, you're thinking very good. Matt. Yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Call me up if you need backup and need help. Okay.
Excellent. Right. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. All right. Let's get to, if he's still there, Emery from Charlotte, North Carolina. Emery, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing all right.
What do you got? About these mega churches, preachers going to heaven?
I'm sorry, what?
These mega preachers like Joel Osteen, all of them, but they go to heaven. What about the Bible says,
You're very muffled, but I think you're asking, would people like Joel Osteen go to heaven? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, it says preachers for Campbell Gulf, Neil, and
Richard. I can't understand you. I can understand you. Sorry. It's that bad. You want to try it one more time? Are you asking that people like Joel Osteen, are they going to heaven?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if he is or is not. I certainly won't assert that he is. But I can't judge his salvation. But from what he's taught and some other stuff, I doubt a lot of things about him. I don't know if he's going to heaven or not. Okay? I know he teaches a lot of false stuff. All right? And he does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate it.
All right. Okay, buddy. Well, God bless. Okay. Well, folks, you got less than a minute, so let me just... I don't have enough time to get another call. I'm going to be out of the studio tomorrow and Friday, unless something changes in the next 24 hours, but I'm traveling down to... I'll be driving down to Sandy, Utah. I'll be staying there, and from there I'll be going down, I think, to American Fork, Spanish Fork, something on Saturday, Sunday to do some evangelism and work and stuff like that with the Hindu conference or the Hindu meeting. The Mormons are going to be there. Luke Wayne's going to be there. Luke Wayne will be on the show tomorrow and Friday. Unless there's a tech problem, but he'll be filling in for me, and I'll be down there in Utah. So by God's grace, everything will be fine, and so he'll be doing a great job. So if you have questions, save them for Luke. He knows his stuff. He knows a lot about the King James and things like that and other things. And I just hope that the Lord blesses you greatly. And by His grace, we'll be back on the air, Lord willing, sometimes next week. We'll talk to you then. God bless everybody. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.